You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Nor of the ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. He said, understand, if you get caught up with drugs and alcohol, he said, it will destroy your purpose. It'll keep you, it'll destroy your influence. He said, now let everybody else may do that. He said, but you a king. Look at somebody and say, you are royalty. First Peter says, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are peculiar people. He said, I know that's what they're doing, but it ain't for kings. I know that's what they have. Everybody else is living. Everybody else is party all night long until they're drunk and don't know who they went to home with and who's just sleeping next to. But that ain't for kings. Verse 5. Lest they drink and forget the law. This is reference to two things. The law of God and the legal laws. And pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You need to be making decisions for other people. He said, but if you get your mind all messed up because you're drinking so much, you can't even make good decisions for yourself. Not to mean other, not even to think about other people. So verse 6, he said, give strong drink unto them that are ready to perish or die. And wine unto those that are be of heavy hearts. He said, people who are depressed. Verse 7, lest let him drink and forget his poverty. Oh, that's why some of y'all getting drunk. See, I'm trying to get you out of poverty so you don't have to drink. Let him drink and forget his poverty. Y'all see that? Do y'all realize that works against each other? Because drinking all that, it costs you some money. Even if you're buying cheap stuff like Ripple and Boone's Farm. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Coke 45. That's hood liquor. But if you poor, you don't have no money to be buying that. Let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Listen to those verses from the Message Translation. It says, O son of mine, what can you be thinking of? Child whom I bore. The son I dedicated to God. He said, boy, you know who you are. Don't dissipate your virility on fortune hunting women. Now his mama said, now I ain't calling her a gold digger, but she ain't with no broker. That's what his mama said, y'all. That's what mama trying to get him understand here. Don't you dissipate your virility on fortune hunting women. You a king. Understand why people trying to get connected to you. Understand that everybody getting around you doesn't mean you good. Some people are just parasites and suckers. Some people don't have the blessing. Any inkling of the blessing on their life, but they can see it on yours. And they try to leech on you. Like Lot did with Abraham. So she says, understand that some of these women are just fortune hunting women, promiscuous women who shipwreck leaders. I wonder if all these pastors read this in this version. About these promiscuous women who shipwreck leaders. Told y'all years ago, in 22 years of ministry, never had anybody really do anything inappropriate until it's one Sunday. One Sunday. I remember because we were about to celebrate, I think, our 11th anniversary. And I got up that morning. I said, 11 years of ministry. There ain't been no scandal in this church. There ain't about to be no scandal. Y'all know what I said? Because if you don't do nothing scandalous, you don't have to worry about having no scandal. I said that in first service, just like I'm saying right now. I went back into my study and I looked on my BlackBerry. Y'all know how long that was, right? And his sister had sent me an email and said, "Pastor, you're the only one to read your email?" So I thought, you know, she's something that, you know, she want to make sure all the staff don't know and all that kind of thing. I said, "Yeah, I'm the only one to read." And then it goes on and says, I'm really attracted to you, and we can take this as far as you want to take it." That's the devil. So I'm like, "What do I do with this?" So I decided to get some counsel. Pastor Marcia comes into the study, and I said, "If there's a woman in this church who propositions a married man in this church, you think he should let his wife know?" And she said, "Who propositioned you? Who propositioned you? Who? Who is she?" I said, "I didn't say nothing about me." But y'all know the woman of God deserves stuff. You gotta know who you're married to, brothers. See, when you're married to a woman like this, you ain't trying to mess up. She said, "I saw you. Get a woman like this, keep you straight." "Who is she?" I said, "Who is she? Who is she?" So then we had to deal with that and all that kind of stuff. Glory to God. But I understood real quick that this is just, you can get flattered by that stuff, but you got to realize that the real goal is to shipwreck a leader. And some fools are so foolish, they get caught up in the moment and don't think of the long-term ramifications. Because what's done in the dark, folks start turning on you and get immunity. They start talking, "I'm concerned about my country and my family." Look, your neighbor say, "What's done in the dark will come out in the light." And so she's trying to get him to think about his position and making decision that he doesn't ruin his influence. Are y'all seeing this? Goes on to say here from the Message translation, "Leaders can't afford to make fools of themselves, gulping wine and swilling beer. Lest hungover, they don't know right from wrong, and the people who depend on them are hurt." Do y'all see that? That's what it says, middle of it. The people who depend on, when you're a person of influence and you mess up, the people who depend on you are hurt. As much as I can tell y'all, serve God. Don't keep your eyes on Herbert Bailey. Follow Herb as he follows Christ. As much as I tell y'all that Jesus died for you, Herbert Bailey did not die for you, and if I mess up, you keep following Christ. As much as I can tell you that, if I messed up in a real severe way, there's some of you who ain't coming back to church. I've seen it happen over and over again. "Well, you know, I did that, man. I'm really connected with this." You know, it's nothing worse than I hear about the people who used to be serving God but don't serve God anymore because somebody messed up. The truth of the matter is, nobody's messed up. Nobody's messed up should affect your relationship with God. But you got to be real focused to understand at the end of the day, it's about me and Jesus. She said, if you mess up, you lose your influence and you hurt the people who depend on you. Now, Paul was committed to being a person of influence for the sake of the gospel. When you got a particular calling on your life, you got to be committed to being a person of influence. I didn't say committed to having a big crowd, committed to having a big house, committed to making a lot of money. You got to be committed to being a person of influence, understanding that I carry the responsibility to lead others in a positive way. 1 Corinthians 9 chapter. Now I'm reading from the King James Version. Verse 19. Paul says, for though I be free from all men. Now let me explain what he means there. I can do what I want to do. Paul says, don't get it twisted. I'm a grown adult man. I can do what I want to do. Y'all with me here? For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I may gain the more. I can do what I want to do, but I choose to serve people and discipline myself so I can have more influence with people. Verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He said, when I'm dealing with Jewish people, he says, I carry myself in a way that's going to draw Jewish people. When I'm dealing with people who aren't Jews, the Gentiles, I carry myself in a way that can win them to Christ. Verse 21, to them that are without the law, as I treat them like they're without the law. That's talking about not the law of Moses. Being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Now you need to catch that there. Paul says, so when I'm with them, people who don't have the law, I don't do things like making sure I got to eat kosher and stressing the thing that I know important to the Jews. He said, but at the same time, I don't violate the law of God. You understand? There's certain laws that the law of God, regardless of whether Moses wrote about it or not. Okay? See, that's why I told you there was some erroneous teaching I was hearing years ago that they would say, well, there is no sin until the law. So he said adultery wasn't a sin until God gave Moses, thou shalt not commit adultery. But that ain't true. Because we saw that around Genesis, around the 40th chapter, somewhere around there, where Joseph said, I can't commit this wickedness and sleep with Mrs. Potiphar. He said, and sin against God. So obviously, even before it was written, there's the law of God. There's certain things, it's just the law of God. See, y'all talk, well, ain't nobody telling you, no, it's the law of God. The law of God ought to be written in your heart. The law of Christ ought to be written in your heart. Because what other people say, no matter what environment you're in, if Paul said, I can, but I don't violate the law of God, even when I'm blending in with these customs. There's a line I draw with the law of God. Are y'all seeing that? He says, yes, being without the law, but I'm still under the law of God, and I'm under the law of Christ. That I may gain them that are without the law. Verse 22. To the weak I became as weak, that I may gain the weak. And I made all things to all men. Here we go. That by any means I may save some. I want to influence other people's lives. I want to bring people to Jesus. So I do have to be conscious of how I live. I do have to be conscious of my behavior. And yet he starts off saying, for though I'm free from all men. I need y'all to see that. Because, see, people try to fight for their right to be carnal and do anything and act anyway and go anywhere and do anything because they say, I ain't under bondage. You trying to put me in the bondage. Paul said, I'm free. I'm free, but I make certain decisions because there's a higher principle that I'm after. I want to win people to Jesus. I want to attract people and not repel people. I want to positively influence people and not negatively influence people. To the weak, I became weak. I made all things to all men that by any means I may save some. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Put that up, verse up, please. This I do for what? For the gospel's sake. It's bigger than me. This I do for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ not being contaminated. For this I do for the sake of the good news about Jesus, not being blindsided or camouflaged by my activity that folks say, I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you're doing. I do for the gospel's sake that I may be partaker thereof with you. Paul says it's bigger than me. Then verse 24, he says, now you got to understand this. If you're going to be a person of influence, you will have to learn to discipline yourself too. If you're going to win in any endeavor in life, you're going to have to be concerned about your influence. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. He said, so run that you may obtain. Run that you may win. Don't just be in it. Be in it to win it. Don't just say you did it. Give it all you got. Giving it the best that I got. Paul says, give it everything you got. Don't just be mediocre. Don't just be average. He said, run that you might win. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery. Now he's talking about here, and he's talking about for the sake of the gospel and being a minister of the gospel. Every man that strives for the mastery, to dominate, is temperate in all things. If you're going to dominate in life, you're going to dominate in your career, if you're going to be on the top in any endeavor of life, you're going to need some discipline. That's what that word temperate means. You cannot let your flesh get out of control. He said, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Something that's going to pass away. We do it for an incorruptible crown. At the end of the day, we want to hear Jesus say, well done. At the end of the day, I want God to be pleased with me more than man pleased with me. At the end of the day, it's not for a man-made trophy or man-made rewards or man-made billboard or man-made street named after me or building named after me. No, I want God to be pleased with me. And that's what Paul said. And if I want that, I got to be disciplined. I'm free, but I'm disciplined. Say that. Say I'm free, but I'm disciplined. Ah, glory to God. Free means I can do it, but I choose not to. Hallelujah. Free means I can do it if I wanted to, but I don't want to do it. Glory to God. Free means it's not that I have to, it's because I want to. That's when you know you're a mature Christian. When you're living this life to please God, not because you have to, but I want to. Somebody say, I want to. There was an old hymn in the church we used to sing, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be more loving in my heart. Lord, make me like you in my heart. It's a want to, not a have to. Now, Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived. And yet, he got negatively influenced because he didn't have discipline over the lust of his flesh. He allowed his passions to override his purpose and his principles. He did what God told him not to do. He did what King Lemuel's mother tried to tell him not to do. Let's pick it up here in 1 Kings 11 chapter, starting in verse 1. Now, what happens when you let your flesh get out of control and you're not concerned about being a person of influence anymore? Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many freaky women. He loved many strange women. The stranger, the freakier, the better. He said, I like that. I don't want no just old plain old Jewish girl wearing this thing over her head and these long dresses there. I need me a freaky Moabite. I need an Edomite. I need a Midianite woman. Yes, Lord, these Hebrews, they're so boring. I need a Canaanite. I need a Ite and a Tite kind of woman. He loved many strange women, right in this section right here, right here. Strange women. Until you grow out of that stuff, you got to teach your kids. They come bringing some of these. What's this? Where you think you're taking her? Get that strange woman up out of here. I know you like it. Give not thyself to the Moabites. He loved many strange women. Look at this. See, y'all think I'm just making this up. Look at it. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, I need a nice Egyptian woman. And with the women of the Moabites, and the Ammonites, and the Edomites, and the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. Neither shall they come into you. He said, I don't want you married getting mixed up with all these strange, freaky people who believe in everything, who call themselves spiritual, but they don't believe in Jesus, but I'm spiritual because I believe in a rock. I'm spiritual because I burn a candle. I'm spiritual because I appreciate the rainbow. Are y'all listening to me? He says, why? You shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for they will, for surely they will. Surely sound like that's definitely going to happen, doesn't it? Sound like be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't be fooled. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these women in love. Oh boy. Not only did he do freaky things with them, then he fell in love with them. Oh Lord Jesus, don't let me get started on that. You can fall in love with the wrong person. You can fall in love. You can fall in love with somebody you should never have fallen in love with. You can fall in love with somebody who later on you realize you are the worst thing that has ever happened to me. That's why I tell folks, you got to walk in love. The Bible don't say fall in love. It say walk. Y'all going here falling. See, when you fall, you bump your head. Stop falling in love and walk in love. You cute, but you crazy too. We were talking to someone the other day, and it's so good. And we were talking about how a lot of times you've been taught to look for the red flags. Look for the red flags. And we were talking and said, it's not the red flags you'd be concerned about, it's those yellow ones. It's not the red light, it's the yellow light. Long before there's a red light, there's a yellow light. Yellow light means caution. Slow down. Stop now. And all y'all waiting for the red lights. By the time the red light hit, you done crashed. You done run through it. Somebody got hurt. Somebody got killed. You got to look for the yellow lights. And they put it this way. And they said, listen, you know, and especially now that we got all the money being spent on the roads finally around here, okay? Remember, your kids go to one spend the money on the roads. Okay. Anyway, okay. But now we got money being spent on the roads. And so now all this construction going on. And it will tell you. It'll start pointing out to you. Okay? Mile ahead. 100 feet ahead. Left lane ends. They're giving you a warning. And so the safest thing to do, which most South Carolinians do up north, we don't do that. Because up north, we just get in where we fit in. Okay, that's how we do it up there. My uncle used to say, somebody going to lunch. That means you don't have to get over now. You know, somebody going, and usually that's what happens. Anyway, but the way you're really supposed to do it, when you're running out of road and they give you, you start pulling on over now so this don't become an emergency later. And some of y'all, you won't do that. You just going to keep, I'm going to make it work. I'm trying to fit it in here. And now your life is either on hold or you cause a wreck because you're trying to hurry up and trying to correct something that you should have corrected a long time ago. If you had just looked at that yellow light. So Solomon, he wasn't listening to the yellow lights. They turned his heart away. Look at verse 3. For he had 700 wives. Lord Jesus. 700 wives, 300 princesses, and 300 concubines. Did y'all see that? 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. No Viagra. No Cialis. Just out of control flesh.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m.
Friday, Women's Bible Study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.